A great mystery should leave us satisfied at the end, like the right turkey for the folks around the Thanksgiving table. Today, film critic Peter Rayner gives us something to look forward to as Americans prepare to break from work and gather in gratitude. Sauces, Sides, and Secrets. The popular Knives Out series, starring Daniel Craig as the peculiar sleuth Benoit Blanc, is back. And its new installment might be the best of the three, Peter writes. I'm sold. I'm thankful for family, friends, and a delightful dramatic escape. May the plot thicken like a well-stewed cranberry sauce. Also, our Why We Wrote This podcast is back this week. Kendra Nordine Beato talks about reporting her story on cranberry growers and revives a broader conversation about Thanksgiving history. Here's a brief excerpt featuring Kendra.
The cranberry is something that you think of Cape Cod cranberries. It's just part of the holiday traditions here. And yet I had never seen a cranberry in the wild, so to speak. And I also was really intrigued. I had been hearing stats over the years when we report on Thanksgiving food numbers that Wisconsin for the past 30 years has been the biggest producers of cranberries in the United States. I was curious, why was that happening? And what was happening with cranberries on Cape Cod? So I set out to find out.
It's Wednesday, November 26th. This is the Monitor Daily Podcast. Good morning. I'm Ira Porter. First, our curation of news briefs from our staff writers around the world. Find the latest updates at csmonitor.com/newsbriefs. Neither side in Sudan's war has accepted a U.S.-backed peace plan. The Sudanese army says the latest plan, also supported by the United Arab Emirates, Egypt, and Saudi Arabia, undercuts its role and gives legitimacy to the paramilitary Rapid Support Forces, RSF. The RSF says it has agreed to an immediate unilateral ceasefire, but whether it will hold is unclear, given the group has previously violated the deal. U.S. officials say they hope this ceasefire lasts, following President Donald Trump's pledge last week to try to end the conflict. French police arrested four new suspects in the connection with the spectacular daytime heist of the Louvre Museum in Paris last month. Though the two men and two women are now in custody, the stolen royal jewels, worth an estimated $102 million, have not yet been recovered. The new arrests add to the four suspects already charged. France's highest audit court has called the robbery a deafening wake-up call for museum security. Also, despite economic struggles, Finland is still the world's happiest country. The European nation has remained the happiest country for 8 years in a row, even as it battles increased fiscal distress this year. Unemployment is among the worst in the European Union, the government is trimming parts of the social welfare system, and economic growth is down from last year. But the World Happiness Survey is determined more by variables such as resilience. And John Helliwell, the report's founding editor, told Reuters that Finland is very high in resilience. Now, today's Monitor stories. As always, you can go to csmonitor.com for our latest news. A roller coaster diplomatic saga with a mercurial U.S. president at the helm has left Ukrainians confused about what it will take to end their war with Russia. But could a deal be just around the corner? Howard LaFranchi reports for The Monitor. Daily life or major events can dim the light of the holidays. Many Americans are saying that a focus on expressing gratitude can help people unlock the joy of the season. Scott Baldoff reports for The Monitor. Cranberries are a holiday tradition. And the Massachusetts state fruit. Our reporter takes a look at the past and present of the festive berry and how it became a Thanksgiving staple. Kendra Nordine Beato reports from Carver, Massachusetts for The Monitor. The third Knives Out maybe the best, our film critic says. A church-set crime offers the latest challenge for engaging detective Benoit Blanc in Wake Up Dead Man. Peter Rayner writes for The Monitor. The number of children's cafeterias, also known as ibasho, or places where one feels accepted, have increased exponentially across Japan in the past decade as grocery prices rise and residents cope with loneliness and isolation. Takehiko Kambayashi, reporting from Nagoya, Kobe, and Kawagoe, Japan. From pandemic gatherings and warm welcomes to a homesick holiday abroad, five writers offer grateful reflections on their most memorable Thanksgivings. Contributors write for The Monitor. Now, commentary from The Monitor's editorial board on Thanks for All Proofs of Goodness. The first Thanksgiving proclamation, issued in 1789 by the United States' first president, called on Americans to give gratitude for a new constitution that established the civil and religious liberty with which we are blessed. George Washington also called for prayer and supplications that other nations be similarly blessed with good government, peace, and concord. Decades later, Abraham Lincoln issued his first Thanksgiving proclamation at the height of the Civil War. Amid the conflict, President Lincoln called attention to blessings of so extraordinary a nature that they cannot fail to penetrate and soften all hearts. These included peace with other nations, if not at home, as well as the daily efforts and persistence of hundreds of thousands of his fellow citizens. As Americans mark Thanksgiving this year, every sign of compassion and courage, of peace and concord, calls for similar acknowledgement of what it affirms about humanity's innate goodness and largeness of spirit. Some proofs have emerged with fanfare. In the political sphere, the end of a long-running Kurdish insurgency in Turkey, and a flurry of peace deals between Armenia and Azerbaijan, Thailand and Cambodia, and of course, Israel and Hamas. But the vast majority occur in less visible spaces, in the daily kindnesses and interactions among individuals in both ordinary and extraordinary circumstances. Take, for instance, Japan's more than 10,000 community cafeterias, where volunteers and participants bond over shared meals. In these ibasho, places where one feels accepted, individuals overcome social isolation and bridge intergenerational gaps. As one volunteer says, it's a commitment to do something for others. That universal ethic is shared a world away in a country such as Sudan, torn by civil war and famine. There, collective action through civilian-supported emergency response rooms provides food, shelter, and even basic schooling for displaced families and children. In besieged Ukraine, musicians and other performers have sought to soothe pain and fear with the universal balm of art. Taken together, these examples point to the possibilities for dissolving intractability with hope and reversing cycles of hatred and revenge, often strengthened by one's faith. Striking proof came this fall when a young widow stunned listeners as she publicly forgave the man suspected of assassinating her husband, Charlie Kirk, a few days earlier. A lot of people in this world think that forgiveness is a weakness, or that when you forgive, you forget, Erica Kirk told the Washington Stand this month. It's the exact opposite, she said. It's freeing. Each Thanksgiving offers the opportunity to gratefully recognize such freedoms for those gathered at our tables or scattered around the world, and to support good government, peace, and concord. The stories you just heard are from today's newsletter. Find these stories and more at csmonitor.com. For more Monitor podcasts, go to csmonitor.com/podcasts. For other audio offerings from our parent organization, go to christianscience.com/audio. Today's Christian Science Spiritual Perspective contributor shares how, when we gratefully acknowledge all that God does for us, we realize that goodness, joy, and blessings abound. Find the full column at csmonitor.com/csperspective. Thanks to today's audio production team, Victoria Hoffman and Noel Flack.
This podcast is produced by the Christian Science Monitor. Copyright 2025.